Hello everyone and welcome to Video Games and Coffee. I'm your host Daniel, and today I'd like to talk about a game that is a fantastic first-person mystery game by an indie developer that not only took great care in paying attention to detail, but has kept up with updating the game after its release with fixes and enhancements, showing that when it comes to the video game development industry, size doesn't matter. Even the small and underdog developers can deliver quality and enjoyment. If this genre and style of gameplay is your thing, then I can guarantee it will hook you in from the very beginning. From its captivating score, immersive environment, and story, EQ Studios gave us a wonderful experience when we try to solve the mystery of the Payne's Creek killings. Okay, welcome everyone. Welcome back to my listeners. Welcome to my new listeners. My name is Daniel, and today we're gonna do it a bit different. I've done a game like this before in a previous episode, a game called Draugen, which is kind of a walking around mystery, kind of walking simulator type of deal. But you know, I like games like that, and when I call a game a walking sim, I've seen it so many times online. It's like a negative, you know, in a negative connotation. Like, oh, this is just a walking simulator. You know, I don't like the bad rap that the term walking sim really got. But hey, if a walking simulator is supposed to immerse you in the environment and what you're doing, and it really enhances the experience, if it's a positive thing, then yes. This game, The Payne's Creek Killings, is definitely a walking simulator that, again, with no negativity behind it, I'm not diminishing it. It's a wonderful game. To me, a walking sim, as a first-person, first-person perspective game, that's the way to go when it comes to a mystery game of any kind, especially a murder mystery. And that's what really gets you into the game. So, hey, it is December 23rd, so it's Christmas Eve Eve, and nothing gets me in the Christmas spirit more than talking about a game called The Payne's Creek Killings. So this is, I mean, first off, let's talk about, I mean, the Payne's Creek Killings is a pretty metal title for a game, but I mean, hey, weirder shit has happened. I remember I was in high school, and the first time we ever watched Schindler's List was during Christmas. I shit you not. It was, I think back on it now, it's like, boy, that's strange. That's pretty brutal. But yeah. So while the Payne's Creek Killings isn't quite as intense as Schindler's List, it's still, I mean, whatever, man. We all watch Die Hard for Christmas anyway, so this is nothing. So let's just get right to it, okay? I got my cup of coffee here. I got my show notes, and let's do it. This is the, let's see here. Let's see, it's 9:06 p.m. right now. My son's in bed, my wife's in bed, and I'm down here. I have, I attempted to do my intro, and it took 10 minutes just to record my short intro, because I need to warm myself up. I don't know if any of you listening, if you're also podcasters, you know, you gotta get a flow a bit. You know, you gotta get your mouth muscles and your tongue kind of in sync. And my son wanted me to read him. We've been reading Dr. Seuss a lot lately, and he tends to really love the style of just that literature and the characters and everything, the way it's drawn out. It's very bright and vibrant. And but holy shit, for the last minimum 3 weeks, every night it's been Fox and Socks. If you have ever read Fox and Socks, it is the harshest book you'll ever read. It's nothing. The whole thing is a fucking tongue twister. And I've read it for 3 weeks straight, and I have not been able to get through it one time yet without screwing up something along the way. So that's a pretty tough one to follow here. So that's why I keep messing up my intro. But I think I got a handle on it now. So I'm on minute five. It's 5 minutes, about 20 seconds. I've been attempting to record here for the last 15 minutes. And one third of the time I've been recording is actual good recorded audio, which kind of blows. But all right, let's just get down to it now that I can. Here we go. All right, so the Payne's Creek Killings is a PC only game. It was released in 2017 by a very small indie developer called EQ Studios. Now, I always like to give the shout-outs to developers, especially small indie developers. And, you know, I've noticed that the small developers tend to give, like, little blogs or little dev diaries kind of deal when they're making a game, because they really want to instill their passion for what they're doing and want to share with everybody. So they actually have on their site. So I actually found, if you guys remember, blogspot.com. I don't know if that's really still around. I mean, it's obviously still around, but I don't know how many people use it. But eqstudios.blogspot.com is a really good little resource where they were updating on them making the game. But they eventually merged everything over onto their official blog on their actual main site, which is eqstudios.com/blog. Find a lot of cool, interesting stuff in there that you didn't know about. You don't really find too much information about the game. You really find more opinions and chats and threads on it than you actually find information about the game. So what they had to say was really interesting. I enjoyed reading through that when I was researching this episode. But they are based out of Las Vegas, and I believe this game was suggested to me on Steam based on other games I've played. So I remember I watched the trailer, and I looked at some of the screenshots, and I was immediately sold. So I really dig mystery games, and of any kind. Could be, you know, a heist, some kind of theft, some kind of crime, murder mystery, doesn't really matter. So it's like I'm playing an episode of Forensic Files or some shit like that, you know, unsolved mysteries. But the game itself took me about 10 to 12 hours to play. It's not an extremely long game, but it can be, because it's a difficult game where you must take photos with your in-game camera and you must write down notes to figure this shit out. The absolute best way to put all the clues together that you find is to take as many pictures with your in-game camera as possible and really write down notes, all the characters, all the people in the game that you just gather information on. Yeah, you know, write down how they're related somehow, and you can put two and two together that way. I mean, I'm not going to say much easier, because the game is pretty difficult. You can still complete the game without gathering all the clues. I don't want to spoil anything. I don't want to give it away, but it's still possible to make it through the entirety of the game without gathering all the clues and without really knowing, really figuring things out, you know, without really knowing what's going on. So it's not like you have to put everything together 100% to complete the game. So don't worry about that. I know when I've played games like that before, and I've ended up quitting them because it gets too difficult, honestly. But with the ability to go through the whole game and get in the whole story, even though you don't put all the clues together as, you know, as completely as you should, that kept me in the game. That kept my head in the game, kept my interest, and I've played it through twice now. So I've read that it said that they've averaged, you know, it kind of takes about 10 hours to play, but if you want to complete it 100% with all the clues and everything, it's probably going to take you a lot longer, because the game is unforgiving, really. If you get stuck, you have no choice but to look it up online. You got to Google that shit. I found myself, The two times I played through it, I had to. I really didn't want to, but you see a message in the beginning of the game saying that it is that it's, you know, their intention was to, you know, kind of simulate what, how you would do this in real life as close as possible. So yeah, you're not going to find any little cheats in the game that can get you through it. You got to figure it out all on your own. You got to use your head. So you actually play as journalist Janet Kelly. Your chief editor asks you to investigate the mysteries of Payne's Creek, find out what happened there. There was a well-known murder that had happened there, and you're seeing if you can get some kind of story, maybe solve what happened in this little town. More like a village, actually. It's a very small, cute, adorable little town. It's completely deserted. There's nobody there. So it is just you walking around this town all by yourself. And if I had all the money in the world, I'd buy it and move my family and friends into it. In the beginning of the game, I think it mentions something about Payne's Creek being up for auction soon or something or another. But I would love to live in this little place. And this will come without surprise to most, but when you walk around the town, you'll see some outdoor tables and chairs, and you would most certainly find me there drinking a cup of coffee on a nice Saturday or Sunday morning, probably on my laptop writing my next episode. But I would be very surprised if Payne's Creek wasn't loosely based on a real location because of how convincing just the details and the layout and the design of the little town is. I love just walking around it and seeing everything that was put into it. I read a blog entry by EQ Studios when I was looking them up and researching this episode. And I do know that they had flown out to, I think it was like some place in Japan or something where they were researching some kind of location for another project they were working on or something like that. So if they do that kind of stuff, I'd be surprised if it wasn't based on a real location. But if it wasn't at all based on a real place somewhere in the world, then shit, I commend them. Good job to them, because the whole environment in Payne's Creek is very, very convincing, from just the exterior, you know, the outside, as well as any building or house that you go into. Everything's very, very well done and very well laid out, and I really love just exploring the place. Now, because I like to give shout-outs to not only very well-done games, but also the developers, and the fact that they had this on their site, because they're obviously proud of the work that they did, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read off the staff that worked on it here. So this will give, you know, credit where credit's due. So we have Fairy Tomy, who is the director, story and game designer, music composer, and lighting artist. We have Fumi Nagano, 3D character artist, look development and public relations. Yuri Matsuba is story and game designer, programmer, 3D environment and prop artist. Yoshia Tushida, if I'm butchering all these, like, I'm very, very sorry, but I'm trying my hardest. So Yoshia Tushida is 3D environment and prop artist, level builder, and music composer. Alan Pierce, 3D environment and prop artist. Mark Hampson, 3D environment and prop artist. And Takoki Fujita, 3D environment and prop artist. So that is the staff listed on their website. Very good job, ladies and gentlemen. Because I love this game, and that's why I'm talking about it on this episode. I really feel like it deserves some love, and it's obvious by from what I read that you're very passionate about it, and you enjoy doing it. So here's my shout out to you, and I hope everybody appreciates it the way I do as well. Now, when you think about it, that's a very small group of people to put together a game like this. If you've played this game already, then that should just wow you. Because I've been, like, you know, I went to school. I've been in classrooms that had more people than this particular team that did the Payne's Creek killings. So that's awesome that they were able to do that. To develop a game that's played around the world. It's crazy, right? I mean, it's not every day that you get a chance to create something that's going to be enjoyed or experienced by your just immediate people, right? Like your immediate family, or maybe, you know, coworkers, that kind of stuff. Maybe the word spread, you know, second and third hand, but you're putting out a product that anybody on the planet is going to be able to use. So that's pressure like I couldn't even imagine, especially with such a small group of people. So again, hats off to them. Now, the music in the Payne Street Killings is awesome. It's beautiful. It's completely instrumental. And so Fairy Tomy and let's see who else was. It was Fairy Tomy and Yoshiha Tushida were the two staff listed as music composers. It's awesome. And I'm so bummed that there isn't like an official release of like the soundtrack or the score to the game. My favorite track actually is the very somber, lonely, but also very relaxing piano that's played when you're walking around the town outside. Whenever you go outside, it starts playing the song. I really, really love it. I've seen online that people have tried to find where they could download these tracks, but unfortunately that's not available. Everything is in game. Nothing was actually released as official MP3 files. There are some very eerie pieces. Tracks. Listen to me. The intellectual just said piece. So fancy. I feel like I should be drinking tea with my pinky out instead of this cup of coffee I'm holding with a firm grip. But there are some very eerie tracks that are played when you're by yourself alone in a mansion with no one around. It's so creepy and intense to me I think it's best played at night in the dark, because just the whole style of the game, that's first person, it's a walking sim, it's got great music, that all of that really immerses you in the game. It really gets your head into it. So let's go ahead and talk about the actual gameplay and what to expect when you start the game. You are met with an opening message, and I have the message here written out, and I just want to go ahead and read it to you, because this is kind of what you should expect. So from the game developers, they're saying, "This game seeks to emulate, to a certain degree, the experience of a real-life investigation. There are neither helpful quest markers nor any form of hand-holding throughout the game. You have to search each location well, gather scattered hints and clues, read found contents carefully, and use your power of observation to proceed in the game. We recommend taking your own notes and making full use of the in-game camera." Now, when a game starts off with a message like that from the developers telling you that this is not going to be an extremely simple game, you kind of know you're fucked in the beginning, but it's a very welcomed message saying you're fucked. If only the developers of Bloodborne and Dark Souls would have told us something like this before we started those fucking games, because holy shit, those are some of the hardest games in history. To me, Dark Souls and Bloodborne, the difficulty there, I haven't seen shit like that since playing Mega Man or Ninja Gaiden on NES. So yeah, you've been warned, people. That's the developer telling you, abandon all hope, ye who enter here. So if you're still in, go ahead and, you know, continue on. So as I mentioned before, you play as Janet, the journalist who was sent there to basically, you arrive at Payne's Creek and you're trying to figure out who murdered Vivian Roberts. And Vivian Roberts is the wife of the former mayor of Payne's Creek, Charles Roberts. In fact, there's more than just her murder that you're trying to uncover the truth behind, but that's the high-profile murder case in Payne's Creek. She was murdered outside her home, and you find newspaper clipping, that kind of stuff on it. So that's why you're here. And when you start the game, you have the game shows you a letter that your editor-in-chief sent you. And I'll go ahead and I'll read it out because I have it here in front of me. So, the Hartford Times, assuming that's your employer. Who Killed Vivian Roberts? August 3rd, 1999. In 1995, Vivian Roberts, a successful businesswoman and wife of an ex-mayor, was murdered outside her home. The case was never solved, and the killer never found. It was rumored that someone hired a private investigator to find out more about Vivian's death. Unfortunately, there were no news pertaining to the investigation. Last week, we received news that Payne's Creek will be auctioned off soon. We would like to revisit the case one last time and find out the following. Who killed Vivian Roberts? What was the motive? What was the murder weapon? Please submit your findings and a front page photograph for your story to be published. Richard Harris, Editor-in-Chief. And there's like a little post-it note stuck to the bottom of this letter that says, don't forget to bring the camera. Again, emphasizing you really need to use your in-game camera for this. So that's your objective. And you start, you arrive at Payne's Creek, you buy your car, and you walk up to the front gate, and there's a security guard kind of outpost that says like Sheriff's Office there, Payne's Creek Sheriff. And that's where you start your investigation. And I can't really continue on from here. I usually give you an introduction that goes a little further into the game, but I mean, really, the first few clues you start finding are the first few spoilers, because it's just the type of game that it is. So that's where I'm going to stop with the description. From here on out, you walk around, you find all the clues everywhere. There's a lot of walking back and forth. So you'll find clues in one end of town, in one building, and then you got to walk across town to use that particular clue or item that you found to progress into the game. Now, I had mentioned before that you can actually complete the game without finding all the clues. Now, to build on top of that, you can actually get multiple endings at the very conclusion of the game when you get through it. And again, I love that. It's a more linear game, right? I mean, you know what your objective is, and I mean, there's really no deviating from that. It's open world-ish, but you don't really get much of a choice until you reach the very end. So it's linear up until a certain point, because at the very end, when you have to submit your findings, now, depending on what you submit and what you were able to actually figure out as far as the clues that you gathered during the entire game, there is a bad ending, there are incorrect endings, there is the correct ending, and then partially correct ending. If that makes sense. It all depends on what you submit as far as what that letter from your editor-in-chief asked of you. And then at the end, you receive a grade, a completion percentage, and a rank. If you don't get the bad ending, then you might get a very shitty grade, very low percentage, and a real shitty rank, like total fucking noob or something like that. So, but that's, I think that's kind of cool, because it gives you a reason to play the game again. It is difficult, but you'll probably play it again because of the challenge, because you want to find more clues. You want to find all the clues this time. And then you want to submit the very correct findings at the very end. So it's got some replay value there. Well, that wraps up this episode covering the Payne's Creek killings. I hope that I gave you a good overview on a good introduction on what the game is about and what to expect. Thank you very much for listening this far in if you're a new listener. Thank you very much if you're a returning listener. I really enjoyed playing Payne's Creek. EQ Studios actually has another game coming out. They dropped the demo, I believe it was late last year. It's called Scene Investigators. Seems to be kind of a mystery detective investigation type of deal. That seems to be their thing, and that's fine, because they're doing it very, very well. And with me enjoying Payne's Creek as much as I did, and it being their very first game, Scene Investigators is, you know, maybe it'll blow it away. I have no idea, but everybody learns from the mistakes of the first time. So I have no doubt they'll come out with a nice, new, polished game. I don't think it has anything to do as far as a sequel to Payne's Creek, although a sequel would be pretty awesome. I think it's a totally different new standalone game. But I'm really looking forward to it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you very much for tuning in. There's going to be one more episode next week I'll be putting out. It'll be the last one of the year. This one is episode 12 already. I've already dropped 12 episodes. Wow, it's hard to believe that I just started this a few months ago and I'm already 12 episodes in. But thank you very much again for listening in. Stay safe, have fun, be good to each other, and I'll talk to everyone next time. We'll be right back.